Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX and again on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on KATX and KWBY as Angela Robinson joins Stace Gaddy to share important financial information to help you live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, estate and tax planning, and much more. All covered now on Life Planning 101.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into Life Planning 101. I'm Stace Gaddy. Angela Robinson from Kennedy Financial Services. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Stace. Happy to be here this morning. As always, we have a wonderful show. We always talking about money last, but that's not the case today. We're going to talk a lot about money. We're going to talk about investing. We're going to talk about the economy. We're going to have a special guest on the show, which I'm going to tell you about here in a minute. And real excited about that. But what I want to start with is what we call a 10,000 foot view of investing. You hear all the time that a confused mind says no. And a lot of times when, I bring up investing or I ask somebody, what's your experience? And no matter how long they've been investing, they get this blank look on their face like they're scared to death. And, I think there's a good reason for that because, we live in a very complicated world of investing. It's not just stocks and bonds and cash and you call your broker and you make a trade anymore. In our business alone, we're looking at 49 different chassis for investing. 49.
Wait. Chassis? What does that mean?
Meaning an entity.
Okay.
So, whether you're talking about stocks or bonds or mutual funds or exchange traded funds or hedge funds or REITs or limited partnerships or master limited partnerships, or the list goes on, right? So there's 49 different things that we're looking at. And just an example of this, and this is a little piece of trivia for you. Did you know at the end of 2014, there were 7,923 different mutual funds?
Good grief.
Isn't that crazy? 7,923 mutual funds. And that's just one of those 49 chassis that we look at.
Man.
So, all I can say is that, that is mind-boggling. And it brings me up of who I'm going to tell you our guest speaker is today, because this person is who spends 99.9% of their time researching and doing the due diligence on several different money managers, companies themselves, different types of chassis, because our industry is growing, and what those mean tax-wise, what those mean investment-wise, what those mean as far as whether they fit inside your unique individual plan. And that is my brother, which I am very proud to be a part of this business with him. He has been a student of the investment world for many, many years. He went to Texas Tech University as a finance major. He is a CFP, which is a certified financial planner, a CLU and a CFHC and a QFP. And I'm not going to go through what all those mean, but I will talk about the last one that he's a chartered financial analyst. And those are what the guys on Wall Street have that manage these mutual funds, that manage these hedge funds. So we've got him in our big town of Eastland, Texas, and we're real proud of that. So look forward to here after our breaks that you're going to get to hear from him later in the show, because he's going to give us like a market update. And what I thought would be great is for us to, again, back up and take this 10,000 foot view of investing so that when he gets on the show, he doesn't speak Greek. You may be able to to hang on to what he's saying.
Doesn't speak acronym.
That's right. So, and what I want to do is, first of all, I want to talk about the basics of investing, because no matter how complicated that it's gotten over time and how many mutual funds or how many different chassis there are for investing, it boils down to investments being one of two things. You either have ownership or loanership, and that's it. In other words, you either own something and you're counting on that something to grow, maybe provide you income, or do a little of both. Think about if you owned a rent house, right? You own a rent house, you expect for over time that it's going to be worth more than it is today, and you're counting on the income in the meantime. So that's ownership, okay? The second type of investing is loanership. So that means you loan something to someone, maybe. And you know, you think about the most common thing we're associated with in our world today of loanership is when we take a loan from the bank, whether it be to finance our vehicle or to finance our house. Well, when we finance those things, the bank is the loaner. They are actually the investor in what we're providing. And that doesn't change if, you know, you're doing it with a private institution like that bank, or one-on-one when you buy a rent house, or whether you're with a publicly traded company when you're on MSNBC and you see all those numbers across the bottom of the screen. They boil down to those two things, ownership or loanership. When we come back, we're going to talk about exactly what that means, and we're going to break down just some risk in the market and talk about a story that I think you will find very interesting that'll help you really get a grasp on the market itself.
Angela Robinson from Kennedy Financial Services, thank you so very much. Folks, you're listening to Life Planning 101 right here on KATX and KWBY. We'll be right back after a short break. Welcome back in, everyone, to Life Planning 101. Everything you need to know about finances and much more. It's really about life planning. It's really about their motto, living life on purpose. I'm Stace Gatty, your host, but the woman of the hour, Angela Robinson from Kennedy Financial Services right here in Eastland. Good morning again, ma'am.
Good morning, Stace, again. And we are having a very interesting topic today, because most of the time, like Stace mentioned, we do talk about more planning issues, more things that are involved in your overall picture. But, you know, even though money isn't everything in life, and it shouldn't be everything in life, our life shouldn't be focused on it at all, it's almost like it's oxygen in this world. We at least have to have it to breathe, you know. And so I do, you know, I do think being a prudent investor, being a prudent servant of being able to plan and know what money is about is very important. So today we are taking that look.
Yeah, and I do want to, excuse me for interrupting, but it's a huge point here, because on the first day that you met, that we met, you mentioned that money is kind of the last thing that you talk about when folks come in to do some planning, and that's a very interesting approach, but today you're actually talking about the financial part of it.
That's right, because it can't not be talked about. You know, it's very important, especially for retirees and for business owners who've sold a business and thinking about how they're going to work the rest of their life or not work the rest of their life, and be able to have their money work for them all those years that they spent acquiring and building and working on that.
Today's episode, folks, is called the 10,000-foot view of investing. And where we left off, Angela, was with ownership or loanership.
That's exactly right. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk about risk next, because if you have the basics that you either own something or you loan something, and it doesn't matter what type of investment is, the next thing that's really important is talking about risk. And I want to start with zero risk, because a lot of people think when they take zero risk, that's safe, right? Well, zero risk means zero return.
Hmm.
And really, zero return is a best case scenario. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about inflation and how that was a thief of your money. And what we're really seeing analysts tell us today is it's running at about 4%. So that means if you have $1,000 in the bank today, a year from now, that $1,000 is only worth $960. So, you know, taking no risk, you're actually losing money. And we call this going broke safely. So, for your potentially save your bacon tip of the week this week, it's to not go broke safely. Once you have enough emergency money in place, and we will get into that in another show about what that means, you need to be taking enough risk to try to outpace inflation. And that's really difficult in today's environments. You know, whether you're looking at a CD rate that, you know, is a 3-year CD from 1.5 to 1.7% annually, and that's what bank rate tells us right now is on average, or a fixed annuity rate. I know New Era's right now is about 2.45%. those are nothing compared to inflation. You're losing money by those safe instruments and considering those being your go-to. So, you know, I think it's real important for us to talk about risk because risk is something that people don't often understand. And I want to share a story with you because I think this will kind of, and this should lead us into the next break. And after we get done with the break, we're going to have that special guest. And then we're going to sum up how to assess the risk in this story. But I'm going to tell you a story about Bob. Bob woke up this morning and he went to the kitchen and he turned on his GE light. He started his Folgers coffee with his Black & Decker coffee maker. While his coffee was brewing, he poured himself a bowl of Kellogg's cereal. He then commenced to the bathroom to get ready for work. He did all the normal things we all do, washed his hair with Suave shampoo, brushed his teeth with Colgate toothpaste and a Crest toothbrush, and put on his Fruit of a Loom undies. I had to do that for my son. Once Bob was ready, he piled into his Ford truck and drove to the nearest Exxon station to fill up with gas. Bob then went to work using his Xerox paper, his Beak pen, and his Dell computer. After a long, hard day, he arrived home where he pulled out his Stouffer's microwave dinner, warmed it in his Sony microwave, and turned on his Panasonic TV to watch the news. After browsing on his Apple iPad and talking to his daughter on his iPhone, Bob settled into his Sealy mattress for a long, good night's rest. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the risk in that story. But before we do, again, we've got a special guest, so stay tuned.
Welcome back in, everyone, to Life Planning 101. Angela Robinson, you have an extra special guest this morning.
I do, and I'm so excited to tell you about him. Before I do, I want to remind everybody, we are giving away items. And this week, we have a pair of movie tickets to give away for the best question of the week. So email us, lifeplanning@kennedy-financial.com. to submit your question. As always, I tell people, you know, there's no such thing as a dumb question. I promise you, if you're thinking it, someone else is. So submit it. And if it's the best question of the week, we will be offering that that pair of free movie tickets. So you don't want to miss that. But let's get on to our special guest. Again, we have my brother in the office that is a Texas Tech grad, and also he's a chartered financial analyst. And he works doing the market every day, all day, studying companies, talking to money managers, and he's going to give us a quick update about what's going on in the economy, because I know that's always a big question on everybody's mind, and especially today when the markets over this past summer have been real rocky. So, Aaron, happy to have you on the show, and looking forward to what you have to say.
If you really look at what's been going on in the headline news and everything else, you would think the market was down pretty drastically. From Greece completely going bankrupt to everything and China going on, the market looks extremely vulnerable, but overall the market really hasn't done anything, especially here in the U.S. As of now, the Dow and the S&P are both basically flat. Small companies were up quite considerably at the beginning of the summer, and they've given all that back. So, you know, from January to right now, nothing's really happened. And why is that? Why is volatility picking up right now? And the biggest headline out there that has the most to do with everything that's going on is, what is the Fed going to do? You know, the Fed, they are going to adjust interest rates, and they've said they're either going to do that in September or try to get it done by the end of the year. And what does that do? Well, when the Fed starts to increase interest rates, that's going to make our dollar or our bonds more competitive than the around the world. And the biggest problem with what's going on right now is the divergence of what's going on between different countries and their money policy. So if you look at Europe, they in their money printing process right now, they're doing quantitative easing. Japan is doing quantitative easing. China is now starting to devalue their currency. And who's the only country out there that's increasing interest rates? Well, that's us. So we're the hot play right now. More people are going to be coming into the U.S. to buy our securities and getting that higher income. Well, that has a couple effects on us. The biggest one is it affects our dollar. You know, just from supply and demand, if people are buying our country, they're buying our dollar, and that's going to increase. The effect that has is it makes us less competitive. So if we are producing goods here in the United States and we're shipping them overseas, either by boat or by plane, once they get to Europe, Asia, Japan, or wherever that might be, they're less competitive. Right now, just in Europe, they would be 20% more expensive than the same good in Europe. So that does hurt our GDP or our economic growth. But on the flip side of that, you have certain rather large multinational companies. Think Apple or Ford or GE or any of these huge companies. They are actually operating in these countries. Ford has plants in China. Apple has plants in China or Europe as well. So when they are operating there, they are paying their workers, buying their materials, and earning all their income in euros or Chinese yuan. And it's not affecting them to that much. They're not losing 20% on those euros in that country. The difficult thing to wrap your head around is once that income is made or those expenses are expensed, our system is you have to translate those back to US dollars for our accounting scheme. So even though we're not realistically taking those euros and turning them back into your US dollars, we have to show that on the financial statements. Well, the market's reacted quite a bit to this. If you go back in the last quarter's earnings of the S&P 500, the earnings growth was about a little over 1%. So we're able to buy these companies are falling in value, and most of it is just accounting schemes.
Great, Aaron. That was incredible. That was really good information. I know, you know, we could let him talk for hours and hours upon what information he's able to gain from things.
Can we have him back? Because, I mean, that's a lot of information. We can unpack that for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And let's not forget to get back to Bob before we leave the
show.
Yes, what happened
to Bob?
Yes, so Bob did all these things every day in the markets with all these things that we use every day. And I think the real true story here is that to understand risk, we really have to understand what we're investing in. You know, some people are scared to death of the markets because they don't understand them. But the funny thing is that most of the markets are made up with things that we use every single day. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to stop brushing my teeth in the future. So may do it in a different way, but I'm not going to stop brushing my teeth.
I hope not.
Yeah. So I want to give you a quote about confusion, and it's from the writer Tom Peters. He says, "If you're not confused, you're not paying attention." And my challenge for you this week is to not say no simply because you're confused. In other words, don't go broke safely. Instead, gain enough understanding to help yourself out and to be able to learn to take a little bit of risk to try to beat inflation. That's the most important thing. Now, our trivia for today. How many mutual funds were there at the end of 2014? We gave this answer at the beginning of the show.
What was it?
The closest number wins a free large pizza. So, how many mutual funds were there at the end of 2014? LifePlanning@Kennedy-Financial.com. Make sure you email us. We look forward to being able to hear from you guys and hear your best question of the week, too, for a pair of free movie tickets. And so don't forget to do that. And I hope everyone has a blessed and wonderful week.
Very, very tricky, Angela Robinson. Very tricky trivia question. I'm not sure. Hey, listen, we have a couple of minutes left. Today's program, folks, is called the 10,000 Foot View of Investing. Let me ask you a quick question. It's sort of if you're that high up and you see a zillion ants running around, you need to get closer to really understand the individual ant. And I'm using the ant as a metaphor for one of the chassis you mentioned. Is that in the ballpark?
That's exactly right. You know, if you just take our toothpaste company. Take Crest. If you have a toothpaste company and we know we're going to be brushing our teeth and our population is growing and more of the world is becoming middle class where there are more people going to be buying toothpaste, toothpaste seems like a reasonable thing. But you got to look at the company. Is the company, first of all, are they ethical, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Kind of a big one. You know, and then is there a demand, which, yeah, there would be. And can they adapt to change? Because technology's changing, things are changing, so they've got to be able to know that. Fourth, maybe taxation is a problem. What about politics? What about the way that they're structured? What about their forethought? You know, Steve Jobs, we're all associated with Steve Jobs, and the reason Apple is supposedly such a great company is because of Steve Jobs and his brain. So, you know, it boils down to that one single ant and checking out that ant. And that's why I'm so thankful that we have Aaron in our office to do that every single day at all hours of the day. So, you know, again, I think it's, you know, goes back to our quote, if you're not confused, you're not paying attention. But don't let that let you say no to making sure that you have the potential to outpace inflation for your own sake so you don't go broke safely.
Very good. Thank you so much, as always, Angela Robinson, and extra, extra special guest today, Aaron Kennedy. Really do appreciate it. Folks, thank you for listening. Don't forget, if you missed today's program, this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock here at KATX and KWBY, both stations, we will have a rebroadcast of the program in its entirety. So really do appreciate you listening. We will look forward to next time. In the meantime, for Angela Robinson and Aaron Kennedy, I'm Stace Gatty. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us for Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX and again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on KATX and KWBY for more Life Planning 101.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through VSR Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor and member of FINRA, SIPC. Kennedy Financial Services is not owned or controlled by VSR Financial Services Incorporated.